Legislative privilege of the floor.
Yes.
All right, because anybody who's not in their seat doesn't get to talk. All right, we're back in session. Legislative privilege of the floor. Okay, seeing none.
But I'll defer to Carol.
Frank.
For right now.
We don't have a quorum.
We
don't quite have a quorum. Yeah, we do. We just covered. All right. We're just barely a quorum, but go ahead, Frank.
At the last session, if you remember, I brought to your attention the fact that on our telephone bills, the state permitted, at least in my case, on my Frontier telephone bill, the beginning of a new universal fund charge promulgated by the Public Service Commission and New York State. So this was new. We didn't have any background on it. So we followed up with through Senator Seward's office, and indeed the Public Service Commission did establish a New York State universal fund charge. So we're in the process now of finding out how we access that, because one of the provisions we think might be for broadband service. And I just got this, so I haven't had a chance to run it by Pat, but we're following up with Seward's office to find out if that's another pot of money we can access. And we're still, there's a gentleman in Danby that's helping me with that. Remember at your committee meeting, Ted Crane said that he had some current maps, and we're going to be approaching Frontier with his help to identify the unserviced area. But I thought I'd let you know about that Public Service Commission thing. It's really a surprise, under the radar. Second item, earlier today we had a TCAT budget committee meeting, and I just wanted to get this on your calendars. I'm sorry more people aren't here, but it'll be in our minutes. Remember, we have the joint with among the partners. We have the budget presentation each year. The date for that budget presentation is July 31st. It'll be a luncheon, our buffet-style luncheon at the library, TCPL, again. You'll be getting a formal notification on that, probably from Jennifer Dotson, who's the current chair. But it's July 31st. It's a Wednesday. Let's see. Two final items. I just wanted to let you know those of you that are interested in the hydrilla treatment, yesterday at the Water Resources Council, we had an update from James about the next treatment on the lake. It's scheduled for the middle of June, followed up by another treatment early in August, because I know some of you have constituents who like to use the lake, and you'll be getting more information on that through the media. And, Mike, I don't want to steal your thunder, but do you mind if I announce that this coming weekend is Memorial Day, and
yes,
the parade in Dryden, we're forming up at 9:30. If any of you have an interest in marching, but I'll defer to Mike about the Memorial Day parade. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Frank. Anyone else? Jim.
I have a question for Frank, a serious question. When they do the hydrilla drop, are they going to close off the channel again?
Not from what we heard yesterday.
Okay.
Appear to be arrested, but this is not the time to lay back. But Roxy and the fellow's name who's the hydrilla program manager is James Balzac, and They weren't sure about having to close off the channel, but it didn't. It did not appear that they would have to.
The only comment I would like to make is I was pretty concerned this morning when I read in the newspaper that the Public Service Commission was, or NYSEG was recommending to the Public Service Commission that they, turn the lights off in the plant, basically. That means at present value, $2 million to at least three different government agencies in the town, in the county, and that's a significant hit for all of us. And I'm not certain what we can do, but I hope that the discussion goes on, and it would really be a negative if that place went black. Or stayed black, basically.
Yeah, if I was going to talk about this a little bit in my report, but maybe I'll just follow up. I spoke with Jerry Goodenow today, the plant manager. I've been in touch with him about this. And NYSEG's report is public. It's on the PSC website, as well as National Grid's. They're the similar position with the Dunkirk facility. That actually a larger coal fire plant, but in a similar situation as Cayuga. Where we are is that today, last Friday was the deadline by which NYSEG had and National Grid had to propose to the PSC what they thought the best solution would be, and the choice had, there had been options that each of the power plants had proposed to NYSEG, and the NYSEG was weighing those, and National Grid were weighing those, and then saying, well, we could pick this, one or two, or transmission, upgrade the transmission lines. So their report, their recommendation to the PSC, and the PSC has the final decision to make in this, and we think they'll take probably through the end of the year. Their recommendation is that they close the plant and upgrade transmission lines, both National Grid and Dunkirk and NYSEG and Cayuga operating plant. Jerry said that they have not said where the power would come from. The idea is that they're going to upgrade transmission, but they're in their proposal, it's not included where the power would come from. And Jerry is convinced that it will be coming from a dirtier source than Cayuga. And I'll just talk about Cayuga. That there's every chance it'll come from gas, probably come from gas. And even within the things that the PSC is thinking about, they're talking about a 1,000 megawatts coming from Hydro-Québec and building the a transmission line from Quebec. Now, Hydro-Québec is not lots of waterfalls in Canada. That is the name of a company that has a full portfolio of generation capacity, which includes nuclear, coal, and lots of gas, according to Jerry. So Hydro-Québec is not in any way guaranteed to be renewable or cleaner or non-gas. So I will tell you, I had sent I think I've told you that I've sent messages to Tom Congdon in the governor's office trying to get them to pay attention to the issue that coal, in fact, is cleaner than gas, and to allow the plant to propose bringing in renewables, maintaining coal and bringing in renewables to knock down 30% of the coal. I sent a similar message through Bob Pass to NYSEG last week. Unfortunately, I sent it on a Tuesday, and by Thursday he said he hadn't received it, even though I had resent it a second time. I resent it a third time. Friday he said, oh, here it is. Friday was the deadline for NYSEG. So I knew I was very late in the game sending it to NYSEG at all, but Bob Pass didn't manage to see it for 3 days. So I understand that there is there are some people who are thrilled that we aren't going to have a transform this into a gas plant. I think if people are looking at that as a win-win for renewables, they're misleading themselves. This is in no way a move towards renewables if this is what New York State does. This is probably a move towards out-of-state power coming from out-of-state and very likely coming from dirtier sources than our plant right here. So I'm not particularly pleased about it, but it's hard to see. I mean, I think the lobbying will continue until through the PSC's decision, I suppose. Frank?
Two questions for you. First, is there any opportunity to can the governor reverse that decision?
I think the governor can do whatever he wants.
No, but I mean, is he able to get to the PSC if they wanted it reversed?
That is my sense, yes.
Secondly, was there any discussion that you know of about the future of the rail line? Because they still have to haul salt out of Cargill, and one of the concerns, I know Mike and I have been interested in that rail line for quite some time, and do you...
Jerry has told us over the years that if they went entirely dark, the Southern Railways, whatever it's called, is legally required to continue to continue to run to Cargill. They're not required to run at a good price. So if the coal isn't part of the business model, the cost to run those lines will be entirely on the salt company. So that's going to end up being pretty expensive. So the point is, though, and I understand, in fact, Cuga Operating has been bringing coal in by truck because Norfolk Southern is so expensive. So that's not really good for our roads or anything else either. But
is there any possibility, since the rail line's already established, is there any possibility that we might be able to talk to them about enhancing it with passenger service? Because it runs to Elmira. We went through this once before. Remember that?
My understanding is that as difficult as it might be to communicate with NYSEG, it's a walk in the park compared to Norfolk Southern. But go for it. Yeah, I know that, for example, the city and Fernando and ITCDC have had many issues around by the farmers market and, you know, where the rail lines cross there, and a lot of things they'd like to do. To change a railroad crossing is like, you know,
it's almost impossible.
Almost act of God would be required. So it's a nice idea. I don't think that there's the market for that anyway. So, all right. So there's my report, pretty much. But any other legislative privilege, Mike?
So the War Commission meets tomorrow night at 7:15. You're all invited. Anybody wants to come and learn about what we'll be doing? We've got two events coming up in June. One in Newfield and one in Trumansburg, having to do with the cemeteries. And folks will be honoring there. There'll be more details coming out, but I'll just give you a little advance notice on that. Also other lectures and some reading programs that we're talking about doing. Something maybe at time, the anniversary of the Gettysburg Address, we're talking about that as well. So your commission is functioning well, and we're looking at the possibility of raising funds to build a monument to the Civil War nurses at TC3. The other thing I want to mention, Carol Kamen was here last time and told everybody about Be a Part of History, One Day in Ithaca on May 17th. That was last Friday. I'm sure every one of you has written a piece and will send in to the county historian. And if you haven't, think about what you did on Friday or something about Tompkins County or City of Ithaca and send it in. You can email it.
So you can still send it in?
You can still send it in, okay. Sure. And the last thing I want to mention is one of my favorite topics, and that is not to be outdone by the New York State Senate. The New York State Assembly this week has hit a new low, having to threaten to expel a member for some improprieties that bring disrepute on the whole New York State legislative process. Also questions about money that was paid to try to settle claims. Some of us might think it's hush money, but I won't necessarily go that far. This is a continuing problem in Albany, and it's no wonder that every time they do a public opinion poll, the opinion of our New York State Legislature is so low. They need change, they need reform, and we need a constitutional convention.
Thank you, Mike. You. Carol.
Yeah, I'll just add what I was going to after Dan elucidated us on some of the Solarize Tompkins activities. I had the opportunity to go and hear their presentation on Saturday.
Where was that, Carol?
Right, it was in Caroline. Oh, it was at the town hall in Caroline, and I saw Frank Proto
and
there.
Some of us were
and
there.
Frank is going to take advantage of the 2.99% available to people at any income level. If putting in a $20,000 system with tax breaks that bring it down to $5,000 or $6,000 isn't enough, and that's federal and state tax breaks. And if then the group purchasing agreement, if you live in Caroline, Danby, or Dryden, and hopefully somebody will do this in the rest of the county in the future, maybe even us, they are achieving a further reduction of 37% based on their group purchasing agreement through Solar Liberty. They chose, after interviewing 10 different companies, Solar Liberty for electric and Renovus for hot water. So that will bring it down to the $3,000 to $4,000 range. And if you can't lay that out, you actually have to lay out more of it and get paid back when you pay your taxes. But if you can't do that, there will be financing as low as 2.99% available to anybody. And if you don't own your house or don't want to install it yourselves, there is still the lease option for as low as $45 a month that people will be able to start building in solar energy. And if one is lucky enough to have a slate roof, there is the option that will cost a little bit more, but there's an option to install it not on your roof, but in your yard somewhere. What there isn't the option is to share it with your neighbors. And so that's something that we're hoping to look at in the future, asking New York State to do what some other states do and allow. It's called net metering. I'll just say it was an incredible presentation, and it's a nice coming together of different people.
Mentioned that it's also available for commercial. That's what they described also, the commercial applications. Mm-hmm.
Go for it. This is not only available to residential uses. It's also that they would love to have, if people have businesses in those towns or nonprofits, you're welcome to join that group. So it was very exciting.
The most forward-looking towns in the county.
Yes. I went from our legislature meeting. I hadn't heard it, our last one. I hadn't heard enough on the renewable energy plan for New York State. I went with Tony and Grafia to Mount Kisco, New York, where they did a full presentation in Governor Cuomo's hometown of that plan, including with the professor from Stanford Skyping in from California. And it was very interesting. So people who want to hear more about it can ask me about that. And they had Jeanette Barth as an economist talk about the sort of cost-benefit analysis and also some other possible tools to use as we move forward, thinking about how to provide incentives, how can government encourage this. And so we'll hear more about those as time goes by as well.
Thank you, Carol. Any other legislative privilege?
All right. For my report, I'll just one other thing is I'm not sure if facilities will. Who's vice chair of facilities? Peter's gone. Anybody
Dooley,
vice chair of facilities
is,
here?
I think Dooley is.
Dooley's gone. Okay. All right. Well, I'll. Carol's next.
I'm next.
Okay.
What
well, anyway.
What can I do?
While we figure out what's, I will just announce that there will be a public meeting. Our highway division is having a public meeting on May 29th. This is about the Ellis Hollow Road reconstruction on the western end of Ellis Hollow Road. May 29th, 7 o'clock at the Ellis Hollow Community Center. Anybody is interested can go to that public meeting. So that's my report. Well, everybody who's chair, you're not chair of a committee, shuffle around, think about what committee you're going to have to cover in a few minutes. Joe Mariana, County Administrator.
Thanks, Martha. Broad but shallow report tonight. Just several items to update you on. The work group that's been meeting to talk about the library structural deficit that includes Peter, Pat, Mike, myself, and others has essentially completed its work. We'll be developing findings and recommendations. I will tell you there's no silver bullet that has been discovered through that process. But, again, we will be issuing a memorandum with findings and recommendations within the next few weeks. In terms of progress on deputy and number two positions within the county, good news on several fronts. Mental health has hired a deputy director. ITS has identified a deputy facilities. ARRAIL will have some help starting in early June. So those are really good developments in each of those departments where a number two person is very much needed. TCAT mortgage tax, you've been very helpful in trying to help lobby for that. We need to. We're really into the final few laps of Albany. Whatever you can do to make phone calls to both sides of the legislature and the middle side, the independents, would be helpful and appreciated at this point. They need to know we're not asking them to raise the tax. We're simply asking the state to dedicate the proceeds of the tax that we already have the right to do. We'd like that dedicated for mass transit, so it's time for a push, and again, I know that many of you are already there. Livable Wage Group had its sixth meeting today. We've agreed that we've got at least another couple of additional meetings we need to do. Very complex topic, as you would understand. I think we're working through the issues pretty well, but it's going to be another few weeks before we finish that work and come back with some recommendations to you. We're in labor negotiations with the Road Patrol. We had our first meeting last week. The usual courtesies, so it was just really the beginning of things. So that is ongoing. Corrections also. We've had negotiations with them. We've kind of hit a bump on the road, but those negotiations are ongoing as well. And last, Emergency Operations Center planning. A tornado in Moore, Oklahoma, reminds us how important it is that when disasters hit, and they do, that we need to be fully prepared and fully functional. And Frank Krupa is continuing to chair a committee looking at how we achieve optimal functionality within our EOC. That work is ongoing as well. And I will tell you, I think it's going very well. We hope to have a training exercise in September of this year where roles will be assigned to county folks in terms of how to staff an emergency operations center. We will get some experience doing that. We will have some training as a part of that. So that is progressing, I think, very well. And that's it.
Thank you, Joe. Frank.
Joe, two things. Can you say something about the search for a human rights director?
Yeah, I believe the next meeting is the 6th. We have a long list of candidates that I would characterize as very well qualified who have expressed an interest in interviewing for the position. I can't remember the exact number. I believe it is in excess of 20.
Whoa.
Yeah. So that group is coming together, and Paul is chairing it, so I'm kind of an observer in that, coming together, I think, to begin filtering the resumes and start thinking about questions that they may want to put to the candidates.
The other thing is the MRT, the concern about the additional burden on anyone buying a home. I had an opportunity to talk to the president of the Tompkins County Realtors Association, and because his name is Bob Spaulding, and just casually threw out to him, if we're not successful with the MRT to offset the capital expenditures of TCAT, a chunk of it for that, would you agree to raise property taxes on the broader spectrum of individuals in order to cover the expense? And he said, you know, I'm not sure.
But that's the right question.
So,
and it's a particular burden. Carol or someone else talked earlier about the city's tax burden, because the city would have to raise additional taxes to levy on its taxpayers. We would have to raise our levy through our taxpayers, including those who live in the city. So you've framed the question right. And I think we've all concluded that the mortgage tax is the more equitable way of providing that kind of support.
Well, the Realtors Association has been lobbying very hard not to get this passed, and I'm not so sure, you know, the law of unintended consequences, I'm not sure that there's a full understanding about what the impact is if we don't get it passed. So, anyway.
Thanks. You're right, Frank. That's a very important point. So, I realized I just skipped over my note about the Ithaca Festival. Before we come back, before we hear again, the Ithaca Festival, the parade is Wednesday night, the 27th? 29th.
Yeah.
29th. Who's got that? 29th. Wednesday night is the parade. There's something happening Thursday night. The festival is Wednesday, Friday and Saturday downtown, Sunday on the Commons, right?
Right.
No. Don't forget anything.
So that means...
There's Kathy Lewis.
About the Ithaca Festival, have y'all heard the Cayuga Radio Group is sponsoring a Cans Along Cayuga? Want to come to the Ithaca Festival? Bring some canned food. They're going to collect it. It'll probably be the tail end of the parade. There hopefully will be a huge vehicle filled with canned food. United Way will distribute to local families with food insecurity. So it's a really cool idea. So if you're coming to the festival, bring a can or two.
You mean for the parade, the night of the parade, Kathy?
Yes.
The night of the parade. Okay.
Yes.
Carol?
Yes, so that's the date. That's the same date, the 29th, that you just announced for a public meeting for residents of Ellis Hollow Road. Now, a lot of people are involved in the parade. You know, they have kids or they're in a group. So,
I didn't.
An alternative for those residents then?
I know. John Lampman asked me about that date. There were a couple. They had problems with the community center, with other events. And I hadn't realized that the parade would be that on Wednesday, which is usually on Thursday, so it is
so,
what it is.
And then while we're on the topic of the parade, the last few years I've noticed Barb Ekstrom doing really great yeoman's duty on part of the county, riding on her float. Anybody who'd like to offer to join her, I bet she... It would be fun to do. I bet she'd let you ride along.
Would that be a role for the new controller?
The community.
No, you have to wear a wolf hat and walk in the park.
Sorry,
Mike, did you have your hand up?
Yes, I don't usually ask to speak twice, but Frank gave me a nice introduction to remind people about the parade in Dryden, and I completely forgot. I just want to mention that. All, I believe, got letters from the Dryden Veterans Memorial Home reminding folks about the activities there, and hopefully you can come out. I realize other places have their celebrations too, but Dryden's parade is always particularly nice.
Thank you, Mike. And Joe, we reminded you of something.
You did. I forgot all about it. I'm sorry. I just circulated the memo that I prepared for Pat Pryor today, which is the response from the departments to your giving them an opportunity to comment on the Code of Ethics. I'm not going to go through that tonight. I've given it to Pat today, and I wanted you to see a copy. We did receive just three responses, although there are some interesting questions raised by all three. So I've given it to Pat for her to bring back to government operations. And again, I won't burden you with characterizing these responses tonight.
Pat?
Can I just ask if a copy be put in the mailboxes for people that are not here? Make sure that everybody gets a copy. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Joe. County Attorney Jonathan Wood.
No report.
All right, thank you. Finance Directors David and Rick.
I would invite everybody to come and review the office that I moved out of. I waited till the recycling markets rose to get rid of the paper. Solid waste owes me big time. But the transition's going slowly because we've been occupied with the auditors who I think that Friday will be their last day here. So that'll be good. But Rick has been exposed to several committees, living wage. We brought him over and to a couple of health consortium committees because the county has been selected to be the treasurer of the consortium. And in that regard, the audit for 2012 for the consortium has been completed. And I'm happy to report that the projections are right on target where after the second year of operation, built up enough reserves to satisfy all of the statutory requirements, so which will definitely ease some of the pressure on rate setting for future years. And so if everybody here, Richard Snyder, been here, this is his second week. His door is open. His office is paperless.
Still.
Rick, would you like to say anything? You don't have to, but.
Well, David's proven to be a good mentor for me, and even though there was no paper in the office, no, that's not really true. There was quite a bit of paper in there, but from what I understand from everybody passing through and coming to see us over my first week there, that there is a lot less paper there. So we're still making the transition, and I'm still finding my way around. I appreciate all the help that the legislators have given to me and different staff members. Everybody's been very friendly and helping me feel at ease and just helping me get to know where things are and what it's like here in Tompkins County. So I especially appreciate David. I think we're going to make a smooth transition, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get up to speed. And I'm just very thankful that there's a great staff there in the finance department, and everybody that I've worked with so far has been very accommodating for me because I'm the novice to your way of doing things. But I hope to be able to prove to you that this will be a very successful career for me and for all of us as we work to achieve the goals of Tompkins County. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick. Jim.
David and Rick, will you be the treasurer of the consortium now, the health care? Rick will move into that? Okay.
Any other questions? All right, thank you very much. I will go to the consent agenda. Oh, first, are there any resolutions to be added to or withdrawn from the agenda? All right, for the consent agenda, if you have anything you'd like pulled off, just let us know. Resolution A, ID.
Off.
Okay, resolution B.
Off.
Resolution C, revised ID 4156, authorization to execute extensions of snow and ice agreements with the towns in Tompkins County Highway Division. Revised Resolution D, ID 4171, award of bid County Public Works Facility Fuel Distribution System Replacement. Revised Resolution E, ID 4172, authorization to execute design funding agreement with New York State Department of Transportation Newfield Covered Bridge Preservation Project. Okay, read the number. Resolution F.
Off.
That I have to take off.
Resolution G.
Probably that should come off, too, because it ties into the other one.
All right.
I don't need to take that one off.
Well, we have one vote to take it off. That's all we need. All right. Can I get a motion on the consent agenda that is left? Pat moves, Jim seconds. All in favor, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. All right. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee. Would I go to Kathy? Okay.
Thanks. Leslin, the chair of the committee, asked me to remind people that the meeting is not this Wednesday. It's been moved to next Thursday. Is that the 30th? Next Thursday, the 30th, at the usual time, 3:30 at the old jail. Thank you, Kathy. So come see us. And I just want to brag that some of the things that we've passed recently have successfully moved through the legislature, and important topical issues like the Uniting American Families Act, and we got some contact about that from across the state that our support is much appreciated, although it doesn't look like it's going to make it into the final legislation.
All right. Thank you, Kathy. Any questions? All right. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The committee met on the 14th. Just to give you some highlights of the meeting, we had quite a discussion precipitated, excuse me, by Susan from Mental Health regarding the loss of funding pertaining to the COPS money. David had tipped me off to it before, but just so you know, there's two major effects. We're losing $175,000. Was pulled out for the adult piece, excuse me, this is for the adult treatment piece, and there'll be a $300,000 loss for the Children's Day Treatment Program. This is supposed to start the 1st of October. It's a serious hit. We went through this a couple of years ago, maybe only two, Joe, when we lost COPS. There was a threat to the loss of COPS funding, and they restored it. At any rate, this is not good news. They don't know if the change in the fee structure will. Sue indicated that it would not be sufficient to absorb the loss, but it will offset some of the loss. We're trying to get a handle on how many children and how many adults are going to be affected by this. But it's a pretty serious hit to the mental health department. The second item that I wanted to mention was Amy from Youth Services came and led a discussion on the new procedure that's going to be followed in Youth Services for accessing the funding in Youth Services. She's meeting with the various groups around the county through the towns, and there's a grant funding guideline that's been distributed. It's been finalized by the department. We have not, as a committee, been asked to vote on it, but she's been meeting with various towns about developing summaries and courses of action for the individual delivering of services in the towns. If you'd like a copy of it, it's about 10 pages long. I can see that a copy of that gets put in your box, because the effect is going to be that if you have a municipality that's applying for the money, it probably will impact their application. We did have, and I'm going to ask Martha if we can schedule a meeting here, a presentation. We had an update from the Human Services Coalition regarding Betty Falco gave us a presentation on the health exchanges and what to expect. I've been reporting on this to various organizations, including the towns I represent, that because there are 2,000 best estimates so far of people that do not have health insurance in Tompkins County, 9,000 individuals don't have health insurance, approximately. The breakdown is about 2,000 are on Medicaid, 2,000 would apply through the exchanges, and there may be 5,000 that will still go uninsured. So it's important that we get the word out. The organizations right now that are putting together the exchanges with the Navigator piece are County Office for the Aging, the Health Planning Council, Social Services because of the Medicaid piece, and the Chamber of Commerce. Chamber of Commerce is dealing with applying through your business or your employer, but Gene McFeeters is pretty much up on the exchanges. But as we put this together, we have to get something together over the summer, because in October we're going to start dealing with the exchanges. And the penalty for not having health insurance in January of 2014, you'll pay a fine of $95 plus a percentage of your adjusted gross income on your income tax. And some people may say, well, that's okay, I can handle that. The downside is you still will not have health insurance, and the fines go up as you go through the years. It's supposed to be an inducement to apply for the insurance through an exchange if your employer doesn't have it. I hope we're going to have, I'd like to implore you to have Betty come and give us a presentation here. It would be good to get her.
I've talked to Betty and Jean. I think that
both of them
would
be great.
Be very interesting.
Thanks, Martha. The other item I wanted to mention is, and thank those of you that were able to come up to BOCES for that luncheon that we scheduled, and Joe, thank you, the opportunity to meet with Will came, Jim came, Joe came, we had a representative, Julia Maddock came from the WIB, and we had quite a good discussion with the folks at BOCES about developing job opportunities, and also hoping to reinstate some of the adult training. That we had to take a time out because they're going through winding down their school year right now. But you'll be hearing a little bit more of this. And this, I thought it was a pretty positive meeting. I hope you did too. Excuse me. The next committee meeting is June 11th. Two of the items that I know are going to be on that agenda, Joe arranged for us to have Angela Sullivan come back from the Alcohol and Drug Council. We want to get an update on what's been going on there. Plus, if you remember, the medical marijuana issue that we were talking about previously. And it won't be June. I think it'll be July. Frank Krupa helped me arrange for an individual from the Southern Tier AIDS group. It used to be AIDS work here when George Ferrari and Valerie Rain were the directors, and we started this syringe exchange program. I wanted to get an update on that, so they'll be coming. We believe it'll be July, and it will help to at least give us the right name to contact. So thanks, Will. I think I'll stop there.
And you've got two resolutions?
Yes, two resolutions. Give me a chance to shuffle my paper.
Any questions for Frank? Okay, go ahead.
I'd like to move Resolution A. That's a budget adjustment, public health planning and coordination.
Second by Kathy Luce.
I simply want to move the one that Dooley submitted because she suggested a couple of wording changes in there that clarify it.
And Kathy Luce, that's what your plan is. Okay. Everybody sees that?
That's it.
All right. Discussion? All in favor of that version of Resolution A, please raise your hand.
Aye.
That's unanimous.
Thank you. And Resolution B, basically the same for the same reason. budget adjustment, supported housing funds from New York State Department of Mental Health Department, and I'd like to move the revised substitution that Dooley submitted, once again inserting the whereas regarding the New York State Office of Mental Health.
A second by Kathy Luce. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
That's unanimous.
Thank you. Thanks, Martha.
Thanks very much, Frank. Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Carol?
Yes. Well, in addition to the resolutions that we've already passed as part of the consent agenda, we had a very interesting report and discussion on the airport disposal site. Many of you may remember that Cornell University has to remediate and keep after and study annually a site that they used for many years to dispose of various materials that were used on the campus, some of which have some radioactivity and some of which are chemicals. And this year, one of those materials, if I weren't pinch hitting, I'd have the name of it with me. Anybody remember paradoxamine? Para something or other, the underground plume has migrated a little bit further than it had in the past, so they're going to do some more monitoring of that. So we had a pretty good discussion and asked them for more information to give us not just each annual report where they come with pictures of exactly where the sites are, and it's north of the airport. It's on the airport property, but north of the runway, but how it's changed over time, so that we'll have more of a sense of how that is going. Again, this is a site that they have to monitor in lieu of having made the decision that they made the decision not to take all of the dirt out and really get rid of and dispose of properly. Back when they were deciding how did they want to deal with this, and the DEC allowed them to do that. So it is important to keep monitoring that. And then other than that, we looked at and had a very good report from our highway department about where this year's projects are. And again, I didn't know I was pinch hitting or I would have the list with me. There was not only a list, but a very good map. It'll be on the highway department website. It's probably already there, showing the spots around the county that they'll be. Dave, do you remember any that we should highlight here? Okay, well, there's a list of this year's sites. And they handed it out in a big enough map that even those of us with the worst eyes would be able to read.
Thank you, Carol. Important. Any questions? All right, thanks very much. Good pinch hitting. Economic Development Committee, Will Burbank, Chair.
Thank you, Martha. In our last meeting, we heard presentations from both TC3 and from President Carl Haynes, and he talked about the various programs that are preparing people for economic development, and I'm suddenly blanking.
Jobs.
Help me, guys.
Jobs?
Yes, and the TCC Pathway Scholarship, which is helping people with little or no college experience obtain education, and the Service Traditions Scholarship, which is assisting students who work and have shown exceptional dedication to public service. So we also heard from Julia Maddock of the WIB, and she was beginning to just barely got started talking about the employment situation locally. And the most disturbing to me was the unemployment rate for young people is 66% for youth ages 16 to 19, with 18-year-olds being at the lowest countywide rate of employment in this age bracket in 4 decades. Julia had barely begun her report, and she will be continuing and probably be scheduling for next meeting, which is at this point scheduled for Thursday, June 7th, I believe. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Will. Any questions for Will? Thank you very much. Capital Plan Review Committee, Mike, did you have any further report?
Yes, a couple of things. We talked about the parking lot out here a little bit. We had a request to decide whether or not we should, as part of the capital plan for the rebuilding or the renovation of the old courthouse, we should move our parking places over to the south side of the Baptist Church because it would be closer. The committee looked at that and decided, a majority decided, that we would not move that forward. We think that the additional distance and adjacency gained would not be worth reopening all the parking with the state and the employees and everything else. So that's not going to change unless this legislature wants to do something else on that. We also discussed on the next stage of the disposition of the old library site, and we had in some folks from the city, notably Joanne Cornish, their planning director, who brought us up to date on changes in their density and potential changes in zoning that would include that site, that would allow up to a 50-foot high building there. Also at the corner of Tioga and Buffalo Street, where the bank building is there, they're also looking at changing the zoning for that area. One interesting thing was mentioned was that if the city was to have a new city hall sometime, that one of those sites would be appropriate for a city hall and had been talked about over there. I think other than that, we've heard the discussion tonight about the center of government, and that's pretty much our meeting.
Thanks very much, Mike. Any questions? Thank you. Government Operations Committee, Pat Pryor, Chair.
Yes, thank you. The Government Operations Committee will meet on Tuesday, May 28th at 10 o'clock. We have not met since the last legislature meeting.
All right. Thank you, Pat. Planning, Energy, and Environmental Quality Committee, Carol Chalk, Chair.
Yeah, I pulled off Resolution F also to move so that I could move the version, the revised suggested change submitted by Legislator Kiefer. That is in the fifth whereas. It's changed to whereas county staff, in consultation with TCAT staff, agreed to these projects selected below. That change that the county, Dwight, who had brought forth this resolution, agreed that it was not the county legislature that had done this, it was county staff. So I will move that one. That is, let's see, that is, I'm moving Resolution FID 4144, authorizing 2013 Federal Transit Administration Section 5307 grant application for Tompkins Consolidated Area Transit, Inc., TCAT, and Tompkins County. And I so move.
Seconded by Will. Any discussion? Frank.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Carol, in the body of the resolution, whereas at the bottom of page one, where it breaks down where the funding is going, you notice the second line, it says acquire 2 40-foot replacement transit buses. And if you go all the way over to the other column, it has $96,650 in there. And I know you're not up to the second resolution yet, but I think it ties in to the second resolution, Resolution G. And I just want to clarify it. That money is not going to be dangling out there in space, as I understand it. It's actually coming from or going into an insurance allocation because of the bus that was lost down in Binghamton in the flood.
Yes. I was going to talk about that.
Okay, so should I just be quiet and let you talk about it?
I think it's too late, Frank. I think it's a simple explanation that we had a bus that happened to be in the repair shop during that flood, and shop happened to be in Binghamton. So there's an insurance.
So it's a settlement.
Okay.
So it went there to be fixed and instead got ruined. Is that what you're saying?
And okay. With that, I can then... Oh, did we vote on F?
No.
No,
well,
oh, sorry.
I have a comment, too.
Yes.
I was actually trying to figure that out. So it's on the other column. So did it come from insurance, and was it owned by TCAP? I'm just trying to figure out, was it a TCAP bus? Is it county money that came back through the county insurance? Just because there's been a... I'm interested.
Well...
Can we make a phone call at TCAT and get the answer?
Well, I was asking actually the person that is making the report for the committee.
Well,
because
it's actually not on resolution F.
It is on. Other.
It's an important aspect of it simply because we've been making a lot of distinctions lately between TCAT staff and TCAT and county staff and county legislature and. I just think it would be important to recognize that if this money came from an insurance settlement that was brought to us through the county, maybe instead of other, we should put an asterisk by it and put it in county.
Okay. Donovan.
Not knowing anything about this particular bus, but TCAT does have its own separate insurance policy for the buses, which is not a county policy.
That helps. I appreciate that.
I'd be happy to make the change that just other and asterisk it as insurance money. I consider that a friendly.
I don't care about the actual whereas and resolved. I just wanted it discussed on the floor.
Just point of information, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Caroline, these resolutions generally, not being on the TCAT board, and Kathy, I hope, can back me up on this. Generally, their boilerplate, the wording is somewhat boilerplate. I would suggest rather than changing the column, if that's what you were suggesting, is just putting an explanation or at the bottom of the resolution so it doesn't change the body of the resolution, just to highlight what that money, where it's coming from or where it's going. Because it would be awkward if we did something that messed up the process in Albany for getting reimbursed.
I don't feel the need of doing this. There's a note on the next resolution that more specifically refers
explains
to this particular
it?
Bus.
Okay, yes. We're going to vote on resolution F with the changes that Dooley suggested. Do we have a quorum?
Yes.
Okay, sure. Nobody can leave.
Do we all have to vote in the affirmative?
Everybody has to vote yes. All in favor of resolution F, please raise your hand. Brian, Dave. All right, that's unanimous.
Okay, and with that, I will also move resolution G, which is docket ID 4145, authorizing application for New York State dedicated transit funding for Tompkins Consolidated Area Transit, Inc., TCAT, state fiscal year 2013-2014, and I so move.
Seconded by Frank. I think we've already covered the ground. All in favor of resolution G, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Thank you. That's unanimous.
Other than that, we will, I think I covered the rest of what we did at our last meeting, because of the cycle of the peak meeting and the legislature meeting, we bring any resolutions that don't have to come the day after our meeting to the rest of the legislature. We wait until it can go through the proper cycle with our staff and our clerk's office. So I've covered the rest of what we did. We will be meeting again on Monday, June 3rd at 3:30. And among other things, we will be learning something about feed-in tariffs.
All right. Thanks very much, Carol. Broadband Committee, Pat Pryor, Chair.
Yes, thank you. Broadband Committee met yesterday. excuse me. Our meeting was actually little more lengthy than usual yesterday. We were still going after about 2 hours, so Chuck was there, Chuck Bartosz, and we went through his planning in fairly detailed discussion of the planning plate, of where he's at right now in his planning process, which has been complicated by the fact that there's still a very serious effort being made to see if we can find funding to help fill in at least some of the gap that was left with the cut in the funding from the state. One of the things that we talked about is that the original goal of the application was to be able to serve 3,275 homes, and then with the cut that was made, about 1,175 of those will be left out. So that's a fairly significant number. And I have met separately with Don Barber from Caroline. I know that the Caroline folks are working very hard within their own town to see if they can bring any kinds of resources to bear on this and to work closely with the committee. Dave has been working to try to see what other resources might be called on here in the community or through other funding sources like other grants or something like that. We don't have any good solutions at this point. Part of the reason we're struggling so hard to find it now rather than saying, okay, let's go ahead and do what we can do now and then we'll apply for another round of funding, which we think will actually probably be available after, you know, whatever length of time it takes to complete this part of the build-out, is that by waiting, it's going to increase the cost of the build-out by about 50%. So there are economies of scale, there are economies of ordering materials that you can get a discount if you order more at one time, all that kind of thing that go into it that are going to drive up the cost of serving the two towns that were left out if we can't do it all at one time. So I told committee members yesterday again that I am just so pleased that the committee members have stuck with us and we're still working on this. You might recall we started working on this in August of 2010. So if I were to count up the number of hours that our community volunteers have worked on this project, it's a lot of time. They're very committed and very dedicated, and I just want to give them some recognition for that. I would also mention, I don't know whether you've taken the word back to the areas that you represent, but Clarity Connect is still taking contacts from people who would be interested in becoming customers once we get this build-out completed. And it's Chuck's intention to build out the areas first where there seems to be the greatest expression of interest. So at this point, the two communities where he's had the greatest expression of interest are Danby and Lansing. So those are probably the communities that will have some activity going on sooner rather than later. So I would really encourage all of you to, through whatever contacts you have within your own communities, to make sure that people know to go to the Clarity Connect website and fill out the form that's available there to let them know that you are interested in this service when it becomes available. It's not a commitment. You're not signing on. It's an indication of interest, and that's all it is. So you might want to do that. I think that's about it that I have to discuss right now, unless there's something, Dave, you said you don't have anything specific.
The only thing I would say is that we really need to get some kind of commitment going on this funding by July 15th.
Oh, true, yes. That's kind of the date that we're looking at to start some things in process that will include ordering telephone poles and things like that. And if Chuck is going to order enough to do the complete build-out, he needs to know by then to put his order in. So July 15th is the date that we're working toward.
Okay. Thank you, Pat.
Frank.
Thanks, Martha. Pat, two things. One, was there discussion about the Clarity Connect is still taking applications? Was Ted Crane at that meeting?
Yes.
Because he does the Danby area news. And if would he have had the, because there's one coming up here in June, would he be, would it be appropriate to let him know that he can get a blurb in the Danby area news for signups?
Of course. Sure. I suspect that's probably why we're getting as many inquiries from Danby as we are.
I know. But if there's still an opportunity, you know, there may be somebody out there who... Is that something that you would do, or do you want me to tip him off, or what?
Well, he was there at the meeting yesterday, so...
So he would be aware?
Yeah.
Okay. The other one is, on the money that's the $2 million that you mm-hmm. were fortunate enough and you worked so hard to get, is there a time limit on when we need to start spending that money, or is there a possibility we may lose it for the remaining... Not that I want to put Caroline and Enfield aside, but should we be making arrangements to start spending that money or lose it?
Well, it's possible that that will happen, or that time limit may be set at some point in the future, but it hasn't been yet. And, in fact, the paperwork for the grant hasn't even been signed yet. The state hasn't sent it. And, in fact, they've said it will be about 6 months before they... even have the paperwork ready. So I'm not too worried about outside limits at this point.
So it'll take 6 months to get the paperwork, and right. just like most grants, you have to turn it in within 24 hours. Right.
The reason that we're able to go ahead and start without that is because Chuck has been able to secure private financing with the understanding that the payback will come from the grant funds. So he is operating on his own financing arrangements at this point.
Do you see anything that could jeopardize this project at all right now?
Yes, there are some challenges that we face in a couple of the communities just that have to do with some of the arrangements that have to be made. I really think it would be better if I don't go into it in too much detail at this point because I don't want to jeopardize working it out by making any statements that aren't totally accurate, and I think Chuck could better represent that than I.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks very much, Pat. It's good news. Kathy Luce.
Apropos of nothing, I just found out that from the New York Times that the Senate Judiciary Committee approved the immigration overhaul bill. It'll still have to be discussed for probably a couple of months, and they cut out the Uniting American Families Act, and evidently our own Chuck Schumer spoke very passionately about how bad he felt about doing that, but that it was a poison pill for many of the conservative legislators. Mm-hmm. I think those of us that care strongly about this still have time to influence the vote, and I would encourage people who feel that way to get in touch with our senators and others.
All right. Thank you. Pat?
If I might add... to what Kathy just said, and thank you, Kathy, for pointing that out, that in an ironic sort of way, I'm pleased to see, some of the conservative folks recognizing that discrimination is wrong. And when a government agency discriminates against a group of people simply because they belong to a particular group, if we're going to become outraged about that, I would hope to see those same conservatives become outraged about the fact that we have another group of people that are going to be discriminated against by another government agency, and we should be equally outraged and should include that group.
Thanks, Pat.
All right. Thank you very much. Budget Capital Personnel. Did Jim actually leave?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think he already gave his.
All right, I didn't know if there's anything else from budget. Okay. Public Safety Committee, Brian Robinson, Chair.
Thanks, Martha. And
due to the apparent lack of interest, I will try to be brief here. And I do want to thank myself for staying, otherwise I wouldn't be here.
Actually, there are 9 of us, so I shouldn't say that. Somebody will get up and leave.
Nobody left on my committee.
Oh, okay.
So if I get any of this wrong, there's nobody to dispute.
That's right.
That's right. Say whatever
Michelle,
you want.
Michelle will check you.
Briefly, we met on the 13th. We had a presentation from Pat Buchel, her review of her annual report. In addition to the normal sheriff's report as far as stats and all that, and by the way, things seem to be going well up there, and board outs are at a low for this time, which is unusual given college graduation times and stuff like that, but that's good. He did report that there's changes coming to jail classifications. Right now we have a high, medium, and low risk, and that it sounds like the state's going to change those to just a high and low, which may affect board outs depending on who's there, because you have to have like people together. So he'll keep us more in tune with that. And everybody, probation, Gwen from the district attorney's office, and the mayor all had quite a bit of comment on the increased number of inmates with mental health issues that we currently have in the jail. If for no other reason, there's nowhere else for them to be. These next couple of items, I'm just bringing them up because we discussed them. But I don't want to get into a lot of discussion about it because it's continuing. I just want to give you a heads up that they're there. It was brought up that they wanted to have somewhat of a review on how the sheriff receives and investigates personnel complaints and the policy attached to that. I kind of suggested that we have a subset committee to have a meeting on that prior to any more discussion. Maybe we can fetter out some of that stuff, and quite frankly, that committee will consist of myself and Leslin and the sheriff and undersheriff. So there may be more on that, but let us get together and see what that does. The other one, we're probably at our next meeting, which is going to be June 10th. There is going to be some discussion on changes in the jail commissary. Used to be before you would come in and just hand money over to some jail staff and they would put it in an account. Very labor intensive, and it seems that the new wave in corrections is to go to basically a credit card system, which has its advantages in that, say you're in the, you follow that system, you put money into that credit card, and you do get boarded out somewhere else, that follows you to that other facility. So that's a good thing. The bad thing is that it's run by a vendor, an outside vendor, and they do have a fee, and I'm not totally sure what that fee is, but it's like a credit card fee. It's a little bit prohibitive, kind of on the same light as the collect or toll calls that are made from out of there. And I know we've had some discussions on those as well. So it's relatively new. It is in effect up there, and it does save on staff time, which are labor costs, but we're going to be looking into that further. So to comment more than that, I just want you to know that that issue is out there, and you'll probably be hearing more about it. And as I said, June 10th is our next meeting. I wish I had had a resolution to bring forward so that I could join Joe and it would be a clean resolution, but I don't.
So.
Because Dooley's not here now?
That's
so.
It. No, I'm glad to answer any questions if anybody's got them.
Just propose something.
You need to raise your hand first before you.
Thank you, Brian. Any questions for Brian?
You're welcome.
Great. Well, glad the board outs are low. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, Brian. All right. I have a motion on the minute. What?
I just wanted to say I gave the wrong date for the next TV meeting.
Okay.
Thursday the 6th.
All right. Thursday, June 6th. I thought you were moving the minutes.
I'll move.
Of May 7th. Moved by Frank, second by Brian. Any comments? All
good
in
minutes.
Favor? What?
Good minutes.
All in favor, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Is that going to be unanimous? Any opposed? Oh, we got two opposed. Wait a minute.
Well, wait a minute. Oh, wait
that means I can't pass. Oh, really?
Okay. I'll flip one.
What's the... It's a problem. Revolt. All right. It's 8-1.
Do over.
They pass. All right. Motion to adjourn.
Move.
Move second. All in favor. Thank you very much. Good night.